Many times, this should be the third section, right?
Okay. So, many times, some people think when it comes to the teaching or issue of healing, because they are not sick, they don't need teaching on healing. Some people wait until they are sick before they begin to look for teachings on healing. That was a very wrong event. Like I told us from the first day started these classes, I said, Kenneth Hagin would say, when it comes to the subject of healing, it's something that you need every day as a believer. On the teaching of on healing as believers, you need it every day. It's either you need it for yourself or you have someone who would need it. So you need to have that message of healing always. Hallelujah. Someone close to you might need it. Hallelujah. And you need to know the subject on healing. Glory to God. Okay, hearing me. You need to know. So Matthew 28, 4 verses 18. We'll pick Matthew and Mark today. Now look at what Matthew 28 and verse 18 says. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. And I said, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now he says, I am with you. No, but we can't looking at that word, I am. I am. Now we said the word I am is a proper name. Amen. That's what we said. It's a proper name. It's God's proper name. It's a name reserved for God. It's not just, it's more of a proper name than a verb. Though a verb, but it's more of a proper name. Because in their world, I am, you don't use I am for yourself. It's used for God. Hallelujah. So when you use that word, that's the word in the Greek. Ego am I. You don't use ego am I for yourself. It's a name reserved for God. Haya in the Hebrew. Ego am I. Hallelujah. It's a name reserved for God. So he says, I am with you. In Exodus chapter 3, God will speak to Moses and say, tell the children of Israel, I am that I am. You see that? Has sent you. So it's God's name. He asked them, what will I tell them is your name? Say, tell them, I am that I am. That is the word in the Greek, ego am I. I am with you always. So it's God's proper name. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, I am with you always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am with you always. If you read if you read the book of Mark, I told us on Thursday, I said when Jesus says, I am with you always, is the book of Acts, is Matthew writing the book of Acts. Hallelujah. That's the summary of the book of Acts. I am with you always. Did you see that? Amen. Mark will put it this way, in Mark 16, 4 verses 15, it says, they go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out them. They will speak with new tongues. Amen. They will take up serpents. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, shall not fall them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth. Look at that, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. You see that? So he calls the Lord walking with them.
So that means,
listen, when the Lord working with them, I am with you always.
And you pull that into Exodus chapter 6. Exodus, in the book of Exodus, it says, I would not allow for him to say he is the I am, and is the one I will not allow the sicknesses that have come upon the Egyptians to come upon you. It then means the I am that we have always is the healer. So that means the believer have the healer always.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me.
The I am is the healer, the Rapha.
We began looking at that.
So one of God's nature is God is the healer. God doesn't put sickness on people. You know, you're going to resound it very well. God doesn't put sickness on people. Rather, he heals men. God is the healer.
Hope you're following me here.
Yes, sir.
God is the healer. God always heals.
I know there are people who say, maybe God is giving me, God gave me this sickness to humble me. No. I've heard that from someone. Say, God is sent to teach me humility. God cannot teach you humility with sickness. Because God has nothing to do with sickness. Because God wants me to be saved, that's why he gave me this sickness. No. Okay, you're with me. Amen. If God will give you, if God is to put a sickness on someone so that the person can be saved, that means God's integrity can be doubted. Was I, why would I want to hypnotize you so that, or do something to you so that you will come to me? No. Hallelujah.
Okay, follow me.
God doesn't do such. In John chapter 9, they came to Jesus and asked, who sinned that this guy was born blind? And Jesus said, no. Neither did this guy see nor his parents. Hallelujah. So that means, do you understand me? So they felt somebody had to see for God to put the sickness on him. We're going to get to that shortly. Amen. Remember what the Pharisees said? They said he was born a sinner because he was born in blindness. But that is wrong. Hope you're following me. Amen. God was born in blindness. No. Because in their world, they believe if you are born with an illness, somebody has seen. But Jesus said no. God doesn't put sickness on people. Being born with physical ailments can be biologically explained. It's got nothing to do with God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. And it can be traced to maybe it's biology. Science has explained that. Hope you're following me. God has got nothing to do with it. But sir, does God have a children bank, like a power bank, where he stores children? No. He has given that responsibility to man to reproduce. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Biology. So man can reproduce himself as a child. He did the same to animals. God said that to animals. Hope you're following me. Animals still have to produce his own kind. So you can say, listen, you can say that, so if animals have to produce their own kind, men have to produce their own kind, and there's a biological failure somewhere, is it going to be God? But that's emphatically not God. Hallelujah. Emphatically not God. So there's a place God used to put spirit. We're going to deal with all that in the coming years. Amen. At one point, a man received his spirit. I'm not going to deal with all that. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Amen. Amen. So, it's a very important. So some people will now go to should I call it native doctor? Go and look for children. And I'll say, this child came from the devil. The native doctor gave me a child. Come on, stop being stupid. Because the native doctor will say, I have to go and do the same process. Maybe the other one, right? Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. What's that? Can there be a miracle? It can be a miracle of healing in the system. Hallelujah. But it was not, listen, it was not the native doctor I gave you. But we're going to deal with some of those things today.
I'll just let him know that he's a child
of the devil, because no, I guess I've dealt with that here before.
Don't give Satan the credit.
Amen.
Satan doesn't have the credit.
Shouldn't have the credit. Go to God.
So I literally go, but what about Abraham and Sarah?
We're going to look at that. Amen.
Now, Abraham and Sarah,
let's get quickly to Romans chapter.
Let's get to Romans quickly. Get to Romans quickly.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get there.
Glory, glory, glory.
Romans. Okay, from verse 15.
From verse 18.
17. I just want to get... Okay, let's start from verse 15.
That's what I wanted to start from.
See, because the law worketh wrath. For when there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. And the end of the promise might be sure for the seed. Not so that only which is of the law, but also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Did you see that? Verse 17. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him who believed, even God who quickened the dead, and called those things that be not as though they were. Now it says, now did this that God said, I've made thee a father of many nations. 18. Who against all believe in hope, that he might be become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall that say be? Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, this is that he considered not his own body dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. This is that. So that means they were sick, not in their, Sarah was sick in the womb, right? His deadness of his body, his own body, is talking about his sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see. Verse 20. He said, yes, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that he that had promised was able to perform. And was living for righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sorry. I guess I'll go next one. Okay. Just give me a second. Let's get back to chapter 4. Okay, look at it. It is. So he says, say, look at this, which foundation, who did that make a God is? Says, true faith also. Did you see that? Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child
when she was passing it because she judged him faithful who had promised. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you can put it this way. I heard a story by pastor, a testimony rather, by pastor. He says a woman and a man were, they've been married for a while and they had no issue. They didn't conceive. Hallelujah. They didn't conceive. And then they became worried and they came to meet pastor. Amen. Pastor gave them a message of the woman. Gave them a message. And the woman, actually the woman, and she kept, because her complaint was on the man. Amen. And she wanted to have a child. So he gave her books to read. Oh, the man had no sperm count. Did you get that? So she's active and vital. So he gave her a message to listen to. She just kept listening to the message. Before, after she was not listening, and before she came back, like some people will do, started asking questions. Now, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Wanted to ask questions. Do you get it? A pastor said he didn't respond. He just said, listen to read again. Amen. Okay, yeah, you'll be saying listen to read. Most times, what people need is not for you to be prayed upon, but to exercise faith, believe in God's power. Amen. So she listened to Rich again. They kept listening. So this time, the other time, at some point, she now listened to a portion and called up pastor. And I said, pastor, I believe that just like Sarah, I could receive strength for my husband. Oh yes, now let's talk. Do you see that? Why can't we talk now? Now you are getting the point. Amen. Glory to God. Now you're getting the point. The point mustn't always be the problem. But you can have a miracle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can receive. That is to say, go on, yeah, I'm good. But you know what? How many sperm does it need to produce a child? One. How many sperm is it need? Billions. Do you know what people are doing? That can receive strength to get pregnant. And that was what she did. So, after a while, she saw that she had a miscarriage and she was so happy. After years of so happy. So, she called when she had miscarriage. She didn't call her pastor to start crying. She called her pastor and was happy. I had a miscarriage. That is, I could actually get pregnant. Hallelujah. So, you know what? She believed God more. Hallelujah. And then she gave birth. But she didn't give birth to one. She gave birth and gave birth and gave birth. Hallelujah. Amen. So many a times the issue is about believing God's power. Believing God's power. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Imagine a believer, two believers get married and I don't know, they say my wife doesn't have a womb or the womb is not functioning well. I don't know. No, you shouldn't say that. If the unbelievers can say that, you shouldn't say that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You say, I trust God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How about you saying your womb will hold four children and nothing will be discarded?
Amen.
How about you saying no medical science will say there's no womb but there's womb there? Glory to God. You can trust God's power like that. You can trust God's power like that. What I'm teaching is not even what I'm writing. What I'm doing. What I'm preparing to teach. Are you going to talk about this? Glory to God. But you can trust God's power like that. You can trust God's power. So don't allow people. You know, people not say, "Is that?" I had someone that said, "I'm going back to this to." The Baba, the child he gave to him, because they said I should bring the child after 4 months. No. They said, no, the child will die. I don't want my only seed to die. That is not that thing. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. You must learn to trust God that way. Amen.
Amen.
Satan doesn't give children. I say it again. Satan doesn't give children. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's, you know, Satan is cunning. He will not make you believe he gave you the child. And all your life, and you now tell the child, imagine the child is not going to say you are Satan's child. Child now grows up to have that mentality, I'm Satan's child. You know, Satan's child is also called, you are Almighty. Child now grows up, I'm Almighty. They say that. Amen. Just like a little child coming and telling Pastor Shevon, yes, like that. I'm a witch. How can you say you're a witch? Yeah. Who told you? How do you know you're a witch? Because they told me I'm a witch. You see that? He has gone for deliverance and then answered because you used to drink, that you enter, you used to see yourself near three, that you're a witch. Who told you that? Who told you that? Glory to God. Go into that. Amen. Amen. So, God is the healer. God is the healer. God always wants us healed. What is that? God always wants us healed. Wants us well. How are you following me? God always. He always wants us fine. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. He always wants us
well. Glory to God. Yeah.
So, last week, I told us we're going to look at something. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you say to yourself always, God wants me well. Okay, hear me. You say to yourself always, God wants me well. Never believe in life. See. Let me tell you something. Hmm? Biologically, they say, some sicknesses are hereditary. God wants me well.
Hope you're hearing me.
God wants me well. You must always say that to yourself. God wants me well. God wants me healed. God wants me healed. Something that you feel, I never allow that get into you, that it is hereditary. It happened to my great grandfather, happened to my father, happened to my elder brother. It's coming to me. No, I'm a break in the gym. Always let me say this, God wants me well. Glory to God. Even if science says it's like this in the family, I'm a break to that chain. But let us say it well. You mustn't believe, listen, you mustn't believe sickness is hereditary for you. Okay, hope you're following me. Amen. You must learn to choose what you believe. Say that. Say it all. You must learn to choose what you believe. See, you can become dogged about it. Can you say, I'm going to inherit the sickness, God forbid. Hallelujah. I'm a virgin of genius. I'm God's child. God wants me well. God wants me healed. God wants me well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, God wants me well.
God wants me
healed. God wants me well. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Especially as a believer. God needs your health for his work. God needs your health for his work. So he wouldn't want you sick. He wants to heal you all the time. Okay, he wants to heal you all the time. So that means when there is sickness, when sickness has attacked your body, God wants me healed. Hallelujah. I can believe God for healing. Never say, why me? Some people will follow and say, why me? Why me? No! That is not the response there. Hallelujah. How about you hearing me? That's not the response there. Don't say, why me all the time? Why me? Why did he come to me? No. That is the wrong response. That is what Satan wants you to say. Hallelujah. But what does God want you to say? I trust God, I'll be healed. I trust God, I'll be fine.
Trust God, I'll be fine.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't just say you have 2 more hours to live. I trust God, I'll be fine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hope you're hearing me.
Amen.
You're the God. You're the God.
Hallelujah.
You have a few more days to live. I trust God, I'll be okay. Amen, amen.
Amen.
You see, wrong confession has taken people to the grave earlier than they suppose. Wrong confession. I can tell you that for free. You know, the body pains were too much, just too much. And some people who are around them, without that saying, ha, he fought well, Lord. He died fighting. What nonsense talk is that? He died fighting. The strong man. The strong man is dead. Hallelujah. Amen. I was shouting. I'm there though. I'm there though. Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it. I'm there though. No, don't say words like that. Amen. No matter how painful it is, I trust God I'll be fine. I trust God I'll come out alive and I'll be okay. I trust God. Hallelujah. I used to remember saying this with my friend yesterday. I said, see, even on the deathbed, a man can believe God and be healed. Amen? The man might not necessarily be a believer. I said, we said it together. And I said, see, the man can be an unbeliever. And on his deathbed, he says, I believe God, I will be healed. The man on the deathbed that says, I will be healed, I will be fine. Because God will have been healed. Hope you are following me. Jesus gives us that picture. We're going to get to see that shortly. You know, some people think healing is for only believers. It's only believers that can heal. No! Jesus in the earth is God becoming man. So, look at all of them that got to him. As many of them that got to him, got healed. Do you see that? As many of them that showed forth faith in him for healing, they all got healed. That means an unbeliever can trust God's healing power and believe. Even on the deathbed. Even on the wheelchair. Hallelujah. Can trust God's healing power and be totally healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can trust God's power. Amen. Amen. So, God is always willing to heal. That's the essence. God is always willing to heal. Always willing to heal. God is always willing. Don't say he's a bad man. So therefore, you're going to die instead. No. No. Hallelujah. God's plan is not for any man to perish. That's not God's plan. So, hope you're hearing me. Here we go. God, number one, take this. God does not punish people with sickness. this is someone sick. You don't say God is trying to humble me, and neither can you say God is punishing him. No, God doesn't punish people with sickness. God doesn't. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. While you're on the earth, God punishes you with his love. He just loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. God just loves men. God is love. You can't find evil in God. You can't find evil in God. God is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
He wants me well. He wants me well.
So let's look at something this evening. The use of instrument for healing. There's some people have posed doubts in their minds. After that, can somebody use things for healing? Like water? And they're like, someone said, I used to take Holy Communion. Once I mix the communion and I take it, I'll be healed. And you're saying, sir, communion is not doctrinal. somebody argue doctrinal issues with experience. You don't argue doctrinal issues with experience. Hallelujah. You don't. Amen.
Yes.
Doctrinal, when things have to do with doctrinal issues, you have to look at the scriptures. Hallelujah. If you know when it comes to healing, you don't need to pay
obeisance to
doctrinal issues. No. Amen. We're going to see some of that now. Hallelujah. Sometimes people just say, doctrinally, communion, holy communion, this one, that one. So therefore, no. You don't do things that way. Glory to God. Amen. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Amen. You don't do things like that. Because, let's see. Let's take something. Remember I said God always wants us healed. Right?
Yes, sir.
God always wants us healed. He wants us healed. You must never take that off you. God always wants me healed. So if God always wants me healed, now something you're going to see is sometimes you can use instruments. Now those instruments might not be doctrine. Amen? Might not be doctrinal. So you are mixing, someone like me, you can't expect me to say I'm mixing communion. I am not mental. What is communion wine? Okay, what is it? Eh? I want to mix communion wine. So someone has told me that. They mix communion wine and gave it to me, said, but and I drank it and I was healed. They said, how can you not say communion is not God? Say, even if they had put Fanta, I give you to drink, you still have to speak. Fucking nonsense. Says, sir, no, we don't believe in communion. I believe in communion. I said, what is communion? That is koinonia. It's not like communion. Communion is koinonia, that is sharing. They will have even given you from the yam, and you have been healed, you will have seen it. Say, no, sir. Yes, see. let's mess it. Amen. There's something called communion table. Jesus didn't have what they called communion table. What you call communion table is Last Supper. And Last Supper was, there's something called Last Supper in theology. It was referring to the last day of the feast. They had the feast. So on the last day of the feast, they were eating. And Jesus now used it for a teaching class. What will now be called a ritual. Okay, follow me. But we're not looking at that. That your faith be not swayed. Amen? But right from the Genesis, you will see that they had instruments for healing. Instruments for healing. For example, in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5, quickly. 2 Kings 5.
2 Kings 5. We had a soldier by name Naaman.
Naaman. Let's look at it. 2 Kings 5 verse 1. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because By him, the Lord has given deliverance to Syria. He was so mighty. He was also a mighty man in valor, but was a leper. Did you see that? Amen. Syria was, in their days, not a friendly nation with Israel. What am I following you? Was not a friendly nation with Israel. They were enemies. So, remember, you could have just said, God is going to kill him in leprosy, right? But here comes the man, Naaman. He inquired, and a little girl, or a little maid, told him about who? Elisha. You see that in verse 2. Told him about Elisha. If our master can just go to Israel. You see that? Told him about Elisha. And he went to Israel. You know, imagine he's in our world. They say, you have died already. Right? He said, your sickness, your leprosy is God dealing with you. Hope you know that. But no. Glory to God. He came to Elisha. Elisha said, go and wash in Jordan. Did you see that? Amen. Elisha said to him in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. Did you see that? Now, very vital, there is a doctrinal part to this, but Elisha is a prophet. Elisha was also teaching him. So the miracle of Naaman is a miracle that points to the miracle. Hope you know that. Amen? So, you're going to go back to Jordan. He sent him to Jordan. Then, Naaman said, of all good rivers, why Jordan? Because Jordan was a dirty river, a kind of. But Elisha wasn't looking at it from whether the water is dirty or not. Elisha is looking at it from where? The standpoint of what Jordan is. He said, you are going to go back again to Jordan. How many of you remember where Jordan is? Galilee. Amen? Border. Hope you're following that. You're going to go back again to show you that there will be a new beginning. That's what Jordan means. Jordan means there will be a new beginning. And in that new beginning, you will be clean. But that was not what we're looking at today. He sent him back to Jordan that he should wash 7 times. Did you see that? And he went and what happened? He did. Hallelujah. He washed the first. Listen to the instruction 7 times. Many a times, what will refuse to pay attention to, even in healing, is instructions. Sometimes you have instructions of what to do. Instructions. So he said, the prophet of God, Elisha, said, wash 7 times. And he did the first, the second, and he was tired. So what is all this? And then the same way, dirty river. And what? Thank God he had a good Sabbath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had a good Sabbath. So, someone said, man of God, we're going to start. Just do it to, maybe just 1 to 7. Just do it. And at the 7th time when he did, he was cleansed. Hallelujah. He was cleansed. Very vital. Hallelujah. He was cleansed. And he was fine. So now see the import of that in verse 17. Look at what he did. And Naaman said, shall they not then, I pray thee, be given unto thy servant 2 moles burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Did you see that? That is worship. So that carrying of sand there from Israel was to show that he's going with the message of Jehovah to Syria. Did you see that? Amen. So that means this thing. The healing of Naaman brought about salvation to Naaman. That's just it. Naaman began to worship the Lord God of the Israel, of Israel. Began to worship Jehovah, Yahweh. Hope Yahweh means. Hope Yahweh means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But something you must not take your eyes from was on the fact that an instrument was used. What instrument was that? Water. Go and dip thyself in Jordan. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Numbers 21, from verses 7 to 10, they had an epidemic. They had an epidemic of snakes biting them. And what did Moses do? Now, take note. Moses inquired of God. Right? And God said, put a brazen serpent. That is instrument. As many as see. Glory to God. As many as look shall be healed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. What did they do? The Bible said, as many as look, were they healed? Were they healed? They were healed. You see that? Faith in God. I said, this is what you're going to heal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means you can use instruments. I've seen someone one time who have Jesus picture. I said, why did you say, this Jesus picture heals me? I said, what nonsense. That was me being naive though. But he said, this Jesus, but that is not me being naive. I said, what nonsense is that? He said, this picture heals. He said, no. He said, when I was sick very well. So I'll just go to the CCR and I'll be shouting, heal my sickness, Lord. Jesus, heal my sickness, Lord. Your sickness was, but no way. But when it comes to healing, the old he said, God, heal my... I was looking at the picture of Jesus with thorns on his head. You know, with the thorns on his head with blood. Say, heal my... Oh, Lord, this is your blood. Let it heal me. And he was healed. Amen. He was healed. No, you wouldn't have problem with it. You know, you will not have problem in explaining that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You shouldn't have problem with explaining that. See that? So how would you teach that person that does not that thing that healed me, but Jesus himself that healed me? That is what they have been taught. Instruments. Sometimes you could use instruments. Right? So, hallelujah. God will allow sometimes for you to use instruments. But you know you that you are faith. You can't do that. Hope you know that. Now go and get Jesus' picture with tongue. Who told you that is Jesus? Amen. Amen. Who told you that is Jesus? With an European hair. With jelly coy. Jesus with jelly coy. Remember one time I don't call it argument, discussion with my friend. Amen. With your European Jesus. Please, sit down. Hallelujah. With your European Jesus. With full hair. Bone straight. Your Jesus has bone straight. Amen. The Bible says, no. We had a conversation and they said no. Jesus was called a Nazarene because there was a lot of talk about it. It's just funny talk. It's years back now. It's 2008 or thereabout we had that talk. So it was just a bit funny. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So though he was putting forth an argument, my friend was putting forth an argument that Jesus had dreadlocks. And I was telling him no. Don't worry, let's continue. I have a funny one. Amen. And it was explaining from Bible, was showing me how just the next day. Because this, he had dreadlocks, was black, from African. Are you done? So what is, then what I learned, what is the usefulness of all this? So what's the usefulness? You could even have said he's speaking Yoruba too. Hallelujah. What is this? We were just not. Hallelujah. Amen. And he did it excellently. So Jesus was black. I said, how? I said, let's look at the genealogy. As in, it's not a joke. Hallelujah. So, all this is when you sat down together. So you sat down together. So look at this. Look at Solomon. Solomon said he was black, that he was sunburned.
And I said, okay.
You should have not said Jesus is Indian.
but it was nice. That year.
And we're now using it to cause trouble. We caused a lot of trouble. There are some things I cannot reveal now. I'll reveal in the years to come. I've been keeping it. There are some things. So sometimes when I just remember, I'll just be smiling. I'll just say, I need it to stay there. I caused a lot of trouble. I did.
Amen.
So, in number 7, they had an instruction to look at the brass serpent. As many as Luke were healed. So, many times we can receive instructions to use instruments for healing.
We can receive instructions to use instruments for healing.
Amen.
We can. Okay, but God needs us healed. God needs us healed.
But we will just take note of that. We're going to deal with that as we progress. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In the four Gospels, Jesus did the same thing. He gave instructions to use instruments.
Hallelujah.
Look at John 9. John 9. The guy who was born blind. John 9. Are you there? So verses 5. So verse 5.
He says, verse 6. So, he apostolic is spat on the ground and made clean of spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Come on now. Open that door. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which was interpreted sin. Then he went his way and washed and came seeing. Did you see that? Jesus made clay and did what? Anointed his eyes. That is, to anoint his eye doesn't mean he used anointing oil. And that means he rubbed it on his eye. Hope you're following. Hallelujah.
Therefore, and wash and see. So, what I said is to anoint his eyes. So, he rubbed it on his eyes and went to wash. Amen? Jesus instructed him to go and wash. Did you see that?
Yes,
to wash his face. And he came back seeing with his eyes. Okay, follow that. That is very vital. Jesus instructed that to happen. Look at verses 11. It says, Amen. There. Okay, start from verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, this is like him. But he said, I am he. When he came and they were asking, this is the guy that saw that I'm doing. Therefore, they said unto him, how were thy eyes open? And answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. You see that? Hallelujah. And they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not.
Amen. Then to go and wash. Jesus did. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus did.
Sometimes we could have such instruments used. But take note. Not doctrinal healing. Did you see that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at something else. That supersedes that. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's look at something. If you read closely,
you discover that the man wasn't even saved. The man didn't believe in Jesus. And at the point he received this, he didn't believe in Jesus. Look at verses. I'll run us through verses 37.
They came and they asked him questions, and he kept saying, he doesn't know. All he knows, look at verse 24. They called the man that was blind, 24, and said to him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. And look at what the man said in verse 5. He answered and said, whether he be sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Watch to 35. Sorry, Isaiah 35. Verse 34. And they answered and said to him, thou hast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they casted him out of the Now, he didn't show faith in God. You hope you're following me. Look at verse 35. And Jesus heard that they casted him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Look at what he said. He answered and said, who is the Lord that I may believe on him? Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means before now, he didn't believe in God. He didn't even believe in Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, thou hast not seen him, and he had taken, and he that take and talketh with thee. You see that? Jesus now said, okay, this is he that talked to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Did you see that? So it was after the healing that he got saved. Or could not God say, it was after the healing that he believed in Jesus. Hope you believe. Hallelujah. So he believed after he was healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that said, a man can believe in God power to heal, or a man can believe in God to heal through a substance and receive the healing. Is that? A man can believe God for healing through a substance and receive the healing. Because God wants you healed. God wants you healed. How are you following me? Hallelujah. God wants you healed. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19, verses 12. Acts 19 verse 12. Verse 12. Amen. And that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. And the disease departed from them, and the evil spirit were casted out. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Handkerchiefs were on aprons. Handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. Did you see that? And people were healed. So those handkerchiefs and aprons were instruments. Did you see that? Instruments that transmitted God's power. So that means God's power can be transmitted through substances also. You can transmit God's power through substances, through instruments, through handkerchiefs, through aprons. Hallelujah. Even Jesus also. We saw that his clothes had the healing power. In Matthew, in Luke 8, from verse 45, the woman with the issue of blood said, if I go, may touch the hem of his garment. And when she did, Jesus said, something virtue left me. That is to say, go. Substance, power, the power of God can be transmitted through a physical substance. Hope you're following me. Can be transmitted how? Through a physical substance. The power of God. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of God can be transmitted through substance. It can be transmitted through laying on of hands. The power of God can be transmitted through laying on for healing. For healing. Hallelujah. The power of God can be transmitted through the laying on of hands. Through the laying on of hands. In Luke 4 verse 40. In Luke 4 verse 40. He says, now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. You see that? And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them.
Did you see that?
He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So Jesus laid his hands on the sick and the sick were healed. Hope you're following me. So you can receive healing via the laying on of hands. Power is transmitted through the laying on of hands. Hope you're with me now. In Luke 8:41, it says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought that he would come into his house. Did you see that? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He besought. Now let's see how Mark puts that account. Mark 5. Are you Mark 5? Verses 21 into 23. Mark 5:21. And when Jesus was passed over again by sheep into the other side, much people gathered unto him and was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came out one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and he saw him. And he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she might be healed. And she shall live. Did you see that?
What did Jairus want Jesus to come do in his house? To come lay hands on his daughter. Hope you're following that. To come lay hands on his daughter. Laying hands. Hallelujah.
Laying
on of hands. So when hands are laid, healing can take place. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. When hands are laid, healing can take place. Look up here. Something you have to see and note very vital is the fact that, see, we're going to work, get to that soon. Your duty is to lay hands. Did you see that? Your duty is to lay hands. God, Jesus said, this time shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So your duty is to lay hands. Right?
Yes,
when you lay hands, power will flow. But whose duty is it to receive? It's the duty of the receiver to receive. So when hands are laid and nothing happens, is not God. I showed us last week. Unbelief shall take you the power of God. When hands are laid and nothing happens, is not the problem is not with the giver or with God. The problem is with the receiver. What am I following? The Bible says Jesus came to his own. But they knew too much about him not to believe him. They didn't believe. The Bible says Jesus couldn't do any mighty work. He couldn't do any mighty work means he tried to lay hands and people didn't get healed. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. He couldn't do any mighty work. His Bible says he was marveled at their unbelief. So that means unbelief would make the power of God not to work. Hands can be laid, nothing would happen. The problem is not the one that laid the hand. The problem is you that is receiving. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So Jairus wanted Jesus to come to his house and lay hands on his daughter. Hope you're following me. And lay hands on the daughter.
Glory to God.
Let's see the disciples.
In Luke 9. Verses 2. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus sending his disciples out. The Bible says he sent them and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. And to heal the sick.
Did you see that? So how will they heal the sick? They will have to lay their hands. Hallelujah. They will leave it, they will heal the sick by the laying on of hands.
Look at Acts 3. Acts 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And Peter passed his eye unto him and said, look at us. And he gave heed to him, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but so that I have I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand, that is hands lean, and lifted him up. And immediately the man began to walk. Hope you are following me. Amen. So that means laying on of hands.
Glory to God.
Laying on of hands. Something you're going to see.
Hallelujah.
Let's get back again to Jairus. He came to meet Jesus and he said, come lay hands on my daughter.
Did you see that?
Come lay hands on my daughter. Something you must see is the fact that faith will propel action. He came and asked Jesus, come lay hands on my daughter. That is an action. Faith will propel action. It will be seen in words. Hallelujah. I told us last week, faith propels the talk. There is a faith talk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There is a faith talk. Faith propels action. He said, come and give us money. No. No. Hallelujah. Then come and lay hands on my daughter, that she will be healed. Hope you're following this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jairus wasn't asking for healing for himself. He was asking for healing for his daughter, for someone else, someone close to him. So when it comes to asking for, or when it comes to receiving healing for someone else, you've got to be, I put it this way, you've got to be smart about it. Hallelujah. Because as a believer, you could receive healing for another person. You can receive healing for another person. Sometimes people don't know how to go about it. Amen? They don't know how to go about it. Remember I said there's something called mental assets that people have that think it's faith. Faith propels actions. Propels actions. Propels actions. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 5 quickly. Luke 5. Now, let's see Luke 5. It says, now it came to pass, on a certain day, as he was teaching, there came the Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to him. Did you start? And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the ceiling, which was with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. You see that? What did Jesus see? Jesus saw their faith. So that means faith can be seen. Amen? Faith for healing. Remember I told us last week, faith for healing, to the unbeliever, faith for healing is not the same as faith for salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith for healing for the unbeliever is not the same as faith for salvation. Hallelujah. It's not. Don't say because I receive healing, I am saved. It's wrong. You're not saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Jesus saw their faith. And said, I sent her for the healing. Look at Luke 7. Quickly. Look at the centurion. The centurion. Let's see this. Luke 7. And when he had ended his saying, the audience of the people, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And he heard of Jesus. Did you see that?
What have we seen from all these people we've read? In terms of healing, they heard something about Jesus that prepared faith. They didn't hear things that prepared, the ones that didn't receive. When he came to his own town, they heard things that brought unbelief. They did not the carpenter's son. Did you see that? They had, so what information do you gather about God's power? What information do you gather about the healing power? What information do you gather about a minister, about God's people, or a minister, a man that God uses, or the men that God uses? What information do you have about them? Hallelujah. Amen. See, I see men in their office. He was always meant to say what? I see men in their office. I see men as God uses them. Hallelujah. When you don't see men in their office, if you don't see men as God uses them, you can't receive from them. Hallelujah. You can't receive. There's no magic to it. You can't receive from them. So the centurion heard about Jesus. Look at verse 3. He heard about Jesus. He sent unto him the elder of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that it was worthy of him that he should do this. For he loveth our nation and had built us a synagogue. And Jesus went to them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion's friend said to him, saying, the Lord, trouble not thyself, for no worthy that you should enter under my roof. Did you see that? Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. So they explained that he is a man that giveth authority at me. And Jesus, look at what Jesus said in verse 9. They have not found so great faith. Not in Israel. Did you see that? Faith. Did you see that? Faith propels action, and action is seen in words. He knew that Jesus can speak a word. Did you see that? And the servant can be healed. So he said, Master, speak a word. I am a man of authority. I give a word and people respond. Did you see that? The master speak a word. Hallelujah. The master speak a word. And Jesus spoke a word. And the centurion's servant was healed. Did you see that? So faith, that's faith. Hallelujah. That is faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have something here. I said, faith for healing prepares action. It is always active. What are you hearing? Faith for healing is never passive. No. Active. Faith for healing is active. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Active. I can remember a book by Kenneth Hagin. He said there was a healing line. There was a healing line. So he had laid hands on sick people and they were healed. So he got to this woman and he was tired already physically, because he said he had to lay hands on people for hours. He was laying hands on people. So he got tired at some point. He's human. So his body was getting tired. So he met this woman and the woman was on a wheelchair. And he could see that the woman was ready to be healed. He said, but you know, I was tired in my body. So what he did was that he gave the woman the scripture. He opened to his scripture and showed the woman. Hallelujah. Actually, the scripture he opened is the scripture I would love us to have read. But let's just proceed. So he said, by his stripes, we were healed. So he showed it to the woman. And the woman read it. By his stripes, we were healed. See, most times, when it comes to healing, sometimes you don't need context, pretext, post-text, out-text. Amen. This is so sad. Well, it's just that he's tried. So stop referring to... No, you don't need that. Hallelujah. Amen? You said that? But you told us that that Romans chapter 8, where he says, you know, that's what chapter 8. He's at liberty. He says, if he that is not just from there, leads to you, vitalize your mortal body. You told us that is not for healing. But sir, I've used it.
And you use scripture, no problem. We know when it comes to healing, we permit a lot of things. I used it and I was healed. See, you don't need context or pretext. All you need is faith in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Faith in God. You must see God as the healer. Faith in God. By His stripes I'm healed. He that is able to fertilize my mortal body, fertilize I receive healing. Who? God heals you, right? Amen. Amen. It is active. I'm healed. So you stood up. Oh, you stood up. Faith that you are healed. Right? You could do, you can't say, I'm healed. I mean, like I gave up this story of how I had injury. And my mom came and said, with anger that morning, go and do this thing. And I jumped up. I didn't say, oh, I'm not, my leg is hurt. I jumped up and I didn't even remember I had the injury yesterday. It's gone totally. Hallelujah. Amen. But few minutes before then, I couldn't stand from the bed. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So faith for healing is always active. Always active. So Kenneth Hagin said he showed this sister reading from Peter's writing, he said, by whose stripes ye were healed. So the sister read, by whose stripes I was healed. By whose stripes I was healed. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. So I've been healed 2,000 years ago. You see that? I've been healed 2,000 years ago. So that means I'm not supposed to be in the wheelchair. I've been healed 2,000 years ago. I'm not supposed to be on the wheelchair. I've been healed 2,000 years ago. I'm not supposed to be on the wheelchair. So she stood up on the wheelchair. Look, saying that, and the father now says, so what would you do? What would you do? I have to act because the word of God is real. I've been healed 2,000 years ago. So she put her hand on the wheelchair and stood up and began to walk. Did you see that? Hallelujah. What did she just do? She just acted on God's word, because God's word, God's faith for healing must be active. Amen. You can't say, I believe God, I'll be healed. I believe God, I'll be healed. And you are lazing around on the bed, crying and telling people to come and give you food to eat. Amen. Faith for healing will tell you, I believe God has been healed. Right? So you're going to walk as one who is healed. Because you can't be believing God for healing and you are acting sick. You know what I mean? Faith for healing is active. So Peter and John saw the guy at the gates called Beautiful, ministered to him. They didn't leave him and go. They said, don't worry, you'll get. No, they took him by hand and dragged him up. Do you see that? Because faith for healing must be active. Hope you are following me here. It is active. I said, many times you see some healing ministers tell you do what you couldn't do before. Why? Because it is active. You've got to put it to work. Jesus will say, go wash. Did you see that? It's active. Go show thyself to the priest. Active. Hallelujah. Take up that Jesus speaking. Look at John 9. Sorry, John 5. The guy at the pool, the man couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. Jesus said, take off that bed, stand up and walk. But he cannot say, but sir, I told you I cannot. Do you see that? You won't get it. But he said, take off that bed and walk. And when they asked him, say, the man, Jesus said, I should take off my bed and walk. And I did, and I'm walking. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Take off that bed and walk. He did, and he was walking. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, faith for healing is active. Always active. Hallelujah. So if you have to receive healing for someone too, you've got to be active. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got to be active. They brought their friend to meet Jesus. That's active. That's activeness. How about bringing someone who is sick? Right? Hallelujah. Bringing him to a healing meeting. Active. How about receiving for the person? And not just receiving and just say, okay, he will be healed. No, receiving and going back to do what? So sometimes you receive the instructions of, when you get back, lay hands on the person. And you get back and you're just looking at the person. I've received it for your behalf. you are not acting. There's an instruction, lay hands on the person. Right? So you go back and you do what? You lay hands on the person. Pastor said I should lay hands on you. Because that the healing power can be transmitted over to you. Amen. Sometimes you are with an apron, a handkerchief, an instrument, hands are laid on, is laid on it, and you are told to put it on the person. That's active. So you take it and you put it on the person. Faith for healing is active. Amen. And when you put it on the person, you tell the person, stand up and walk. Tell the person, you are healed, so begin to do things you couldn't do. Hallelujah. Begin to do them. Oh, I know you so eat this kind of food because of this. Start eating them. Hallelujah. Faith for healing is active. Hope you're following me. Always active. Amen. Whether it's for yourself or you are receiving for someone else, it is active. Who's seeing that?
Hallelujah. It's active. The Bible says in Acts of Apostles 19 verse 12 that they were taken from Paul and were put on the sick, and the sick were healed. Active.
Glory to God.
How did the sick know they were healed? Because the diseases were no more. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The centurion servant didn't need to know what was happening between himself and the master. The master had to receive on his behalf. Amen. So that means I could receive on behalf of someone else, and the person wouldn't be aware, and the person would be healed. So whose activeness would that be? My own. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's round this up. So I have some things here that I must always do when it comes to healing. In Luke 8, look at the woman with the issue of blood. I showed us last. The woman said, if I but may touch the hem of his garment. And I said, the Greek said, they did not say it once. The Greek put it like this, she kept on saying, if I but may touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made well. Hallelujah. If I but may touch the hem of his garment. But before then, the Bible says she heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. So that means I must keep. Let me go for that. About Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear about Jesus. So that means I must keep away from me wrong words. Hear about Jesus. Is the healing Jesus. Hallelujah. Hear about Jesus. Is the healing Jesus. Hear about Jesus. Hear about Jesus. Hear about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So keep away from you wrong words. Wrong words concerning healing. Keep it away from you. Don't be negative about healing. Hallelujah. Don't be too inquisitive to start, you know, negative about healing. First of all, I'll get there. Hallelujah. Don't be negative about healing. So, be careful of men that talk down the power of God or make a mockery of God's power. Be careful of them. Don't watch skits that demean the power of God. Don't watch skits. You don't know what those things do to you. You just laugh over it. Maybe you're just watching a skit about a fake man of God doing fake miracles. And you're laughing. No! No! No, don't. Amen. I give us a counsel that I received from Pastor Shadow. Don't even, once you see a skit that begins to talk down about a skit concerning the church, that begins to talk down God's power, that begins to talk down minister, once it's getting to church and pastor office, hallelujah. Be careful of such kind of things. Because you know what? Eh? You might take it as fun or a joke. They are cracking joke. And in a joke, you now enter pastor.
and they are now using church and pastor to do joke, to crack joke, and you are watching it. You are listening to it, and you are a child of God. You don't know the effect of that. Satan plays a long game. Apostle will say, Satan plays a long game. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you don't stand on such words. Those are negative words. Don't mock God's power. Because they are, when you mock God's power for healing, you will not find it in your own life. The things you mock, you will not be able to have it. Sometimes, some people see some, you see, never doubt God's power. Amen. Some people see some miracles. And say, this is too hard to believe. What is your problem? Are you God? Amen. So you begin to analyze it. Hallelujah. Don't be stupid. Hallelujah. Don't be stupid. Don't do that. There are some things sometimes you might not be able to explain at the point you have seen it. Right? Right? But it's God's power. It's God's power. Hallelujah. It's God's power. Don't say around mockery. Don't say around kids. Church kids. Demeaning men of God. Demeaning the church. No. Don't even watch it. Hallelujah. Amen. Mockery. No. Don't. Don't. Jokes. As much as I like jokes. Don't say around jokes. That talk down, that talk less the power of God. That speak ill of the church. If I don't even listen to it. There's actually particular comedian that I like, but I stopped listening to him. I stopped. Because his own joke is church concentrated. I stopped. You don't joke with things like that. How do you? Amen? I stopped. Amen? 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 Amen. Joke, funny joke. Funny joke. Hallelujah. 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 Someone said he's a madman for Christ. Amen. Joe. Madman for Christ. Joe. Amen. Amen. Joe. As long as where you are going to is in the church. The same way too. I will not be in any church and invite a comedian, son of a go. I don't think I've ever, I have never ever, never ever 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 have a comedian invited to church and I sat down there. I remember a time ago they invited a comedian to my parents' church. They said the comedian was coming, whether it was a Toro or Ororo. Are you not good? I'm not good. You go and do what? The comedy will give you no concerning church. No good. Amen. You go down there laugh and say, we need comedians in church so that they can help us to laugh. That is substituting gold for brass. You don't need a comedian to give you joy. So what we need is relaxation. Every time you teach him 10 hours teaching, sometimes we just need to laugh it out. Substituting gold for brass. I mean substituting brass rather for gold. That's what you're doing. Just substituting brass for gold. Hallelujah. Because you know what? In the church we have joy. Hallelujah. Amen. The believers have joy. You don't need anybody to make you laugh. You don't need anybody to make you laugh. Hallelujah. The fact that you are born again, saved, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Hope you hear me. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. 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 So be careful of men that talk down the power of God. Be careful of them. Hallelujah. 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 Also, stay away. What is your own? Every time you're always going online. you have small pay and checking it online. You are checking it online, tracing it to family history. What is your problem with God? Is it a symptom of this? What is your problem? What is your problem? Be careful. Amen. So people now do, now have online doctors. Google is the online doctors. They are now apps online. Don't worry. Don't worry. You will get to the, you're going to see what you are looking for. What is your problem? You will go to Google. You are googling the sickness. And the major thing you are going to check is how many people have been healed of their sickness. And Google will always break your heart. Or they will always tell you, chances of healing, very few. You are looking for something now. You will try what you want to see. Hallelujah. You have to think whether it involves surgery. You will always see. Everything involves surgery. On Google, you see surgery. Hallelujah. How about trusting God's power? How about trusting God's power? How about believing in God's power? Hallelujah. How about that? God always heals. How about, I've seen healing before, I can trust Him again for healing. Hallelujah. Amen. You know it's not hard. You've been healed before. You've seen someone healed before. Hallelujah. You can then trust Him more for healing. Hallelujah. You can heal. You can trust God for healing. Hallelujah. Lastly, never allow doubt. Never allow doubt. Jesus told Jairus, when the news came, Barabbas the master, your daughter is there. What did Jesus say? He said, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. No doubt. Don't doubt God's power. Don't doubt God's power. Sometimes I forgot to say, keep away from your wrong words. You'll find out when Jesus got to Jairus' house, especially when you are to minister healing. I'm supposed to teach this together, but no problem. We'll take how to minister healing during PRC, just 2 months from now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But when you're to minister healing, something you must always make sure you do, and make sure around you, when you're ministering healing, there are no traces of doubt. There are no traces of unbelief. Hallelujah. I've been in a place before where I came to lay hands and the person was not here. I was sweating. Because I wasn't paying attention to the fact that there was doubt all over the place. I had a conversation with them before and after, and it was doubt all through. And I thought I could just do it. It's just me and the lady now. No. Hallelujah. That is why you see when Jesus got to the house of Jairus, right? He said, why is this man? And Jesus said, she's not there, she's sleeping. And they began to laugh. People that were wailing, people that were crying. They were crying, ah! And Jesus said, he's not there, she's alive. And all of them, all of a sudden, all the wailers started laughing. You know? Who is this one? We are here crying, you are saying he's not. They started laughing. Because they were professional whalers. Amen. They were professional whalers. How? It was an occupation. Where people, there, even today. Amen. I was discussing one thing with my mom years back. Someone died, like, in August. They were to bury the person in December. Died in August too. It was a mortuary in August. You know, all the cry will have cried. You have cried it finished. Have you? The family were already waiting for December. People will come back and they will just bury the person. And I said, okay, should you just to bury now? At least people are already moving on. Adi, the person is dead now. I said, no. In fact, 2 nights, you are not telling me some ritual that they will do. Not necessarily ritual of carrying jars. No. That 2 nights to the burial, the wife of the person will now carry some women from the village, will now follow the person, like they will go from, they call the place Nkolo, but it's just like the village square. They go to the village square, they will now start crying. They will now cry to the house in the night. They start by 11. So all the other women in the village will now call. and now be adding voice of cry. I said, but well, what were they doing when they started crying? They said, sometimes they can even be gypsy. But when it is that time, when you now go there?
I'm talking.
The whole everybody, the whole village will not come out. When that cry starts, they will know that it's time. Oh, they are going to bury this person maybe tomorrow or next tomorrow. Everyone will not start crying. But they moved on. Oh God! December! Imagine you now come and say, I came to heal. Everyone will just start laughing. Now you don't die, go. How can I believe you? And as they were done, as they laid the person down, bam! Everybody is drinking kunu. Drinking, drunk and taking sides. But when they are laying the person down, everybody will be crying! As soon as they cover the person like this, where's the food? Where's the food? Oh yeah! Amen. So we still have professional cryers till today. They are even going from place to place looking for how to cry, where to cry for, whom to cry for. Hallelujah. They are not really crying if they are paid to cry. Hallelujah. So Jesus, they had it in their day. So when somebody dies in their day, they will gather. They are called Crying Women Association. They all gather. He is dead. Alright, let's go there. So what they are looking for is that the stomach infrastructure. So they lay the person down. It happened between Jesus and Jerry and Lazarus. They were crying. And he came and said, ah, hey, somebody know the smell. Did you see that? Okay, what do you mean? You will always have those pushbacks. What did Jesus need in the house of Lazarus? He needed Mary. That's faith. Hallelujah. Yeah, he needed Mary's faith. And he went in there and said, Lazarus, come. Did you see that? Amen. That of Jairus, who did he need? He needed Jairus. So the rest were irrelevant, but he needed to push them out of the house. Because they are bringing unbelief there. I remember he had told Jairus, do not fear, do not doubt. Jairus was like the link of faith there. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. You need to learn this well. It's not mental ascent at all. It's not mental ascent. It's active. So because it's active, you're going to take away doubt. Always learn to take away doubt when you go for healing. Take them away. You find that even when Elijah came to the Shunammite woman's house and the son was there, what did he do? He said, leave me and the lad. He chased the mother and the father away. Leave me and see. Okay, go to the Because how did the woman come? She came with doubt. He came complaining. And you know what, if you're judge, you're the one that came. Did you see that? Say, okay, you know what? Stay out. See, you see me and the lad. Who can follow you? Who can follow you? Look at the centurion servant. They came with news. And the centurion had this synagogue for them. Did you see that? Good news, good report. Watch out for good report. Watch out for good, not doubt. Look at when Dorcas. Oh, was it Dorcas? Oh, yeah. It was Dorcas. Tabitha, right? That night. What news did Peter take? Good news. Is it that he always ensure. He said, she has done this for the widow. She has done this for us. Is it that not, he has gone and gone. Nothing can happen. Did you see that? Take away unbelief. Because the power of God will not work in unbelief. Take them or take away unbelief. So you could go for healing, and when you are there, you want to lay hands, and you see that people are doubting. They can touch you. So most times you have to engage them. Hallelujah. Say some words. Oh, you're hearing me. Say some words so nobody is the state of their mind. When you see unbelief, when you see unbelief, deal with the unbelief. Then either you teach them or you send them away. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Then you teach them or you do what? Send them away. Unbelief short-circuits the power of God. Hallelujah. Never allow it. Never allow unbelief. Never allow doubt. Never allow fear. Hallelujah. From yourself. When you have to do with healing, and from those around you when you want to minister healing.
Glory to God.
Hope you're following me. Amen. 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 Let me just put a finishing touch to this. When it comes to ministering healing, when it comes to ministering healing, always know it's God walking through you. So you don't need to get afraid of anything. Your role is to lay hands. Hallelujah. Be bold about it. Lay hands. Your role is to lay hands and see the power of God. Hallelujah. Your role is to lay hands. It is in the other person to receive. So many a time, years back, what I used to do, what I used to do is that I take my time, because most times I really don't get to know you speak. So I take my time to teach them on healing. Just think about that today. Just very short, but I will teach you on faith and healing. Sometimes, if I know that there's no time, I'll just tell you straight up, I've come to charge you. I say it always. I've come to, I'm a spiritual doctor. If you like, really, I'm a spiritual doctor, it's your own business. I'm a spiritual doctor. I say it always. And I've been sentenced by God to discharge you. So all I need you to do is to have faith in God's power through me. Hallelujah. Have faith in God's power through me. Have faith in God's power through me. Have faith in God's power through me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I get them to start talking. I believe God. The power of God is working in me, causing the cure, fetching the change. I said, get me to say things like, I believe God's power is working to heal me. God's power is working to heal me. God's power is working to heal me, causing the cure. I'm causing the change, fetching the cure. Hallelujah. 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 So we sent with an assignment. And in being sent with an assignment, we can also receive healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's something? There's something? Just thank the Lord. As we come to the end of this healing study. For now. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord.